Good morning, everyone. What a delight it is to be here today, to be together. What a delight it is today to bring this service to our listeners today so they can share with us in worship together. Let us just commit this time together before God. Almighty and most merciful God, still our hearts and minds as we share in this time together to listen to your word, to pray and ponder on your faithfulness at our gathering. May we bring glory and honour to you this morning, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God has his plans and his promises, as we learned last week, and he brings them to fruition. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord said when the time was full, he would shine his light in the darkness. He said a virgin would conceive and give birth to the promise. Today we're going to learn more of this plan, to remember what God has done and continues to do in this world, as Trevor brings us the word this morning and the message. Please stand. We are now going to say a psalm together, speaking and worshipping God in the words that follows in Psalm 95. Together. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you would only hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in Meribah, as you did that day at Massah, in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. We are now going to sing together. Sing to God new songs of worship and praise.
To his people Israel. to him with melody. Let the trumpet sound his triumph. Show your joy to God the King. Sing to God new songs of worship. Let the sea now make a noise. From on earth and in the waters, sound your praises to the Lord. Let the hills rejoice together. Let the rivers clap their hands. For with righteousness and justice, he will come.
Please be seated. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man from whom he has appointed. Of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Let us draw near to God. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, and pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. We're about to hear from God's word now. Robin is going to bring us the reading for this morning for Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Robin? Robin? Robin! She's very, very eager to serve at the door, but we actually need her to read. It's okay, Robin.
Good morning, everyone. I think I'm a bit rusty at this. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our reading today is from Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." The Lord. God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Robin. It's always wonderful to have so many people willing to serve in our church. They're preoccupied with what they're up to do, which encourages me to say to you, please, in the new year, I'll be asking us to think how we may be able to share in the ministry of the church here in different ways in which when we gather together. Well, today we continue our little Bible teaching through the word of Luke, Luke's Gospel. And today we're looking at a passage of verses 26 through to the end of that little section there, through to 38 there. So if you've got your Bibles handy, or inside your bulletin, you'll have the outline that should have, or a little Bible study sermon outline thing. You should have the scriptures there in front of you if you've not got a Bible here with you or on your phone. It's Advent, and Advent is that time of the year when we remember the first and second comings of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The message of Advent is simply this, that as sure as Christ came in the past, he will come again a second time. Well, it's less than 4 weeks now to Christmas, and last week you may remember that I asked you, what preparations have you made or planned to make before that day actually arrives? The reason I asked that question was that whatever we are planning and preparing for, be it for Christmas or something else, our preparations actually say something about us. Our preparations and plans say three things. They say that we take that events that are important to us matter. And secondly, they say because they actually matter, that we will go into great lengths to plan them very well. And thirdly, they say that we care. We care about the people our plans and preparations are actually for. Now, God's word reminds us that God makes plans, and that God's plans are always working themselves out eventually for the good of those who love him. God's plans, go without saying, are important plans, because they're God's plans, and all God's plans matter to him. And because they actually matter to him, he will plan them well. And he plans them well because the plans for whom they are for is for us, whom he cares for and for his glory. And the greatest of God's plans was the work he would do for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, that at this time of the year, the world graciously on God's part is reminded of God coming amongst us. What preparations had God made by sending his Son? Well, how did he plan it? Well, how did he show us that he actually cares for us? Well, last week you may remember that God's plan began with a promise. A promise to Abraham many years before and to his wife Sarah, a man who was old in years and for both of them was without children, that a descendant of theirs would one day be a blessing to all people. That descendant, we know, is Jesus. The time for that promise to be fulfilled had come to pass in history. And God made a further promise to Zechariah, again another man and his wife, similar to Abraham, old in years and without children. He was a priest, that he would have a son one day, and that this son would prepare the actual way for Jesus. And he was to be called John. And today, God makes a further promise. This time a promise to a young lady, a virgin, named Mary, pledged to a man by the name of Joseph. They have no children. She was to be the mother of Jesus. We're reading of these promises, these last two promises, from Luke's account of events in his gospel. And the reason Luke wrote of their fulfillment was that we may be certain, you remember the opening of the gospel, that we may be certain of the things we have been taught. For God always keeps his promises. Sometimes, like we've just done in the service here, we ask God to forgive us for our sins. And we may, on some occasions, go away and think, yes, I'm so grateful God has forgiven. I am now forgiven for what I've done or not done. And other times, if you're like me, sometimes we can forget. We have to really work hard at reminding ourselves, this is a significant matter that's happening in the service here. I am actually asking of God to take the death of his son serious at here and asking him to forgive me for my sins. And on other occasions, we may, after asking for forgiveness, sometimes wonder if God has really forgiven us. Well, Luke records what we're about to read today, that we might be certain that when we ask God for forgiveness, he forgives. Brothers and sisters, there's no hard copy, no carbon copy for those who remember those days. There's no hard drive. There's no cloud in the sky that keeps it all there record. It's gone. It's completely gone. It's forgotten. God chooses to forgive and to forget. That if we go back to him and sort of say, God, remember what I just prayed? He would say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? This is what today's passage is meant to remind us about and give us the certainty of, brothers and sisters. Let me pray as we begin. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Please help me to teach it correctly. May we experience your Holy Spirit guiding us into the truth of your word, that we might know the certainty of the things that we have been taught. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some of you may remember two popular songs of the 1990s. Bette Midler's From a Distance, and maybe not so much this one, but Joan Osborne's song, What If God Was One of Us? All right. Both songs, in a way, spoke of our need for God to take an interest in mankind, to show us that he really does care and can actually do something for us. Bette Midler's song is hopeful, but from a distance. And Joan Osborne's song is curious and suggestive only. If God did become one of us, she suggests in the song, mankind might need to take him a little more seriously. Now, both have a faith-religious background, but by no means were these meant to be songs that have Christian focus or to think us to think on God, just a statement that they've made. The first one, Bette's, Midler's one, God from a distance and would care for us. And Joan Osborne's song, But If God Became One of Us, Wouldn't That Be Better? And brothers and sisters, it had always been God's plan to become one of us in Christ. Jesus is no afterthought of God. He's no second plan. It's always been God's plan. As we finished off last week's with the song, This Is God's Only Plan, was to tell us how much, not only to tell us that he loves us, but to show us that he loves us, so that we might experience that love forever and ever by sending Jesus to us, becoming one of us. Now I'm going to take us through the Old Testament and through the Bible and show us that this was part of God's plan. In Jeremiah 23, verses 5 to 6, we read, The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 13, to David, God promised, "When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, and from your own flesh and blood I will establish his kingdom forever." And in Isaiah 7, verse 14, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God's plan has always been to become one of us in Christ, a king who would do what is just and right, a king whose kingdom will rule over for all and forever, a king who'd be born of a virgin and be God with us. And the time came for those days promised to come. And as we heard Robin read to us this morning, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." As God planned, God was to become one of us. And Mary was troubled and afraid at the angel's words and wondered what greeting this might be. And rightly so, may I say. Angels are no fluffy little fairy little things that are, you know, that are nice and gentle. They are scary beings. To be in the presence of God as a sinner is an awesome thing. And we too would be terrified in the presence of an angel. And if you read through the scriptures, when angels appear, most of the times the people for whom the angels visit are terrified. Remember the shepherds as well. For we read in Hebrews chapter 2 there, the message spoken through angels was binding. You didn't have a choice whether to believe it or not to believe it. This was from God. A message spoken through angels was binding. And every violation or disobedience to that message, to the angel, received its just punishment. Zechariah found that out last week, hasn't he? And he's still silent in this story at the moment. It's only about 5 months into the story. However, as to Zechariah, to Mary, the angel said, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God," he says to Mary. What favor? Well, we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, these words about messages from angels. "Are not all angels ministering spirits? They're sent to serve those who will inherit salvation." The message of the angel in the scriptures is always about the reminder of salvation, about God's big plan to save people. It's always their message. It's always, that's how we can identify it's an angel, right? It's a message about God's salvation, about Jesus and his work for us. She was to be the recipient, Mary was, the inheritor of God's promised plan, God's gift to her of God's salvation, the way in which he would save you and me and mankind. And that salvation was to be come in the form of a child through the conception of a child in her, but not any child. but not just any child. It would be God himself in his Son, King Jesus. He is to be that salvation. God's plan was always to become one of us, like you, like me, one of us in Christ Jesus, as King and as our Saviour, as Lord and as Rescuer. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? Despite experiencing and being greeted such, Mary, I think, held herself together quite well. Her question was rational, and it suggests to me no doubt on her part, like Zechariah, but a curiosity as to how God would fulfill his plan. And like to Zechariah, the angel continues the plan and the story unfolding. He says to her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The child, God's salvation, Jesus, was to be both truly God and truly human. Of God, the Holy Spirit, of human, the Virgin Mary. So the one to be born will be holy, the Son of God. But why? Why this way, God? What is your plan? To achieve salvation, that we might be certain of that salvation. To atone for our sin, to take the consequences away, to redeem us, to reconcile us to himself, and to receive us back to himself. This was the plan, to save us, because God cares for us and loves us and wants to glorify himself. God always required under the law that a sacrifice that was without blemish should be made. Remember in Exodus 12:5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." This was always the way in which sin was to be dealt with. When the fullness of time had come, Paul writes in Galatians, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And in John 1:29, what did John say when he was pointing to Jesus, making the Christ known, the promised one? "Look, not at me, look, see Jesus coming toward him." John said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then he appeared, in when John writes, he appeared so that we might take away our sin, and in him is no sin at all. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And in 1 Peter, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous." Why? To bring you to God. There was no other way. There is no other plan. We can't do it. Chuck that one out. God has chosen to do it for us in his Son Jesus. This was his plan, to not only tell us that he loves us, but to show us that he loves us and to experience that love forever. If Jesus were a sinner, if in any sense of the word, like us, without being God, then he could not provide salvation for us. But being the Son of God, he came into the world and lived a sinless life. Being the Son of Mary and the Son of God, he identified with us in every way, but without sin. And as the Son of Mary and as the Son of God, truly human, truly God, Jesus could be and would be that sacrifice for our sin without spot and without blemish. That when we say, God, please forgive and repent and know it in our heart, and God knows it, we are forgiven. There is no carbon copy. There is no hard copy up there, no cloud, no memory. It is forgotten. Nailed to the cross. Finished, he said. It is done. As Anglicans, our doctrine based on the Bible sums it up, I think, well, in the words of Article 2. The Son, which is the Word of the Father, begotten from everlasting of the Father, the very and eternal God, and of one substance with the Father, took man's nature in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, of her substance, so that the two whole and perfect natures, that is to say, the Godhead and the manhood, were joined together in one person, never to be divided, whereof is one Christ, very God and very man, who truly suffered, was crucified, dead and buried, to reconcile his Father to us and to be a sacrifice not only for our original guilt, but also for all actual sins of men. Why has Luke recorded this story in his gospel? Why did he begin that way? Why are we reading it today? Why are we thinking on it at Christmas time? It's the gospel. Verses 1 to 4 of chapter 1 tell us that we may be certain of the things that we have been taught from God's word. He wanted his reader Theophilus to know the certainty of the things he had been taught. And God wants us to know the certainty of the same things we have been taught. God has always planned to become one of us in Christ. As King, as Saviour, as God and man. Not from a distance to love us, but coming amongst us as one of us to save us. Amen. To God be the glory. We're going to stand and say what we believe now, I think, Tina. It's summed up in the creed for us.
Please join with me in stating what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we join together in song to sing about God's plan in Jesus. the unblemished Lamb.
Death, disease had no hand. The wind and the waves were obedient before him. Well may they say, who is this man? Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away bitter cup to the end. He who knew no sin took the punishment for us, deserted by God, man and friend. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away
you. Let us pray. We'll begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and loving Father, you have told us in your word that you are our shepherd. You have promised to provide all that we need, that you will be with us always to the very end of the age, and that you have prepared for us a place in heaven. As you have generously offered to us in Matthew, we come to you weary and burdened and seek your rest in this, our time of prayer. We thank you for providing us with your peace, and we ask today for others around the world to know you too. God of the nations, whose sovereign rule brings justice and peace, have mercy on our broken and divided world. Shed abroad your peace in the hearts of all, and banish from them the spirit that makes for war, that all races and peoples may learn to live as members of one family and in obedience to your law. We ask for a reduction in aggressive attitudes in leadership, and that these governments will focus on the support and provision of necessities for their people, rather than acquiring neighbouring countries and absorbing them forcefully. We particularly ask for the civil unrest in the Solomon Islands to come to an end. Protect our ADF and the Australian Federal Police personnel currently deployed there, along with others from neighbouring countries like New Zealand. We thank you, Lord, for the democratic system of government we live under, and ask that the chosen local members voted in yesterday are able to work well together in their respective electorates and serve their local communities effectively and wisely. Spirit of justice and truth, grant to our governments and all who serve in public life wisdom and skill, imagination and energy. Protect them from corruption and the temptation of self-serving. Help us commit ourselves to the common good, that our land may be a secure home for all its peoples, through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. As state governments around our nation are faced with making some difficult decisions around how to manage the ongoing issues around the current pandemic, we pray that they will be given wisdom and good guidance, and that they will call on you to lead them in these choices. We pray that they are able to communicate well with all Australians to clarify those steps needed for the good of all, as well as reassuring them of their necessity. We ask that protests will remain peaceful. Please, dear Father, unite the people of Australia so we can again feel the strength of a nation. But let all Australians come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. We pray for safety in all those communities currently facing heavy rains and flooding. Grant safety to the emergency personnel who assist them, and for patience and comfort as the waters eventually recede and they face the big cleanup afterwards. We praise you, Lord of all, for the gifts of Christ, our ascended King, for apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Hear our prayer for all who do not know your love and have not heard the gospel of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Send out your light and truth through the messengers of your word, especially those in our December mission focus. All Anglican chaplains in schools, hospitals, the defence forces, the police force and in prisons. Also those who teach SRE, scripture in schools. Those who serve the refugees in Australia, the Retondano and Blair families. The Thomas family in Thailand. The Pharisee family in Kununurra. And Kim Patterson in Ireland. And bring many to saving trust in Christ through them. Help us to support them by our prayers and offerings, and to commend the gospel ourselves by what we say and do. Hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, bring us all together as one people, reconciled with you and reconciled with each other. You made us in your likeness. You gave us your Son, Jesus Christ. He has forgiven us from our sin. Lord God, bring us together as one, different in culture but given new life in Jesus Christ, together as your body, your church, your people. Lord God, bring us together as one, reconciled, healed, forgiven. sharing you with others as you have called us to do. In Jesus Christ, let us be together as one. We pray, dear Lord, that you will bless all our homes and our families. Let your holy angels dwell in them to preserve us in peace, and may your presence rest upon us evermore. Almighty God, giver of life and health, hear our prayers for those from our church who have been unwell and those who care for them. May they be restored to health of body and mind according to your will, and in the presence of your people give thanks to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray that nothing may hinder us from receiving Christ with joy. God of power and mercy, open our hearts in welcome. Remove the things that hinder us from receiving Christ with joy, so that we may share his wisdom and become one with him when he comes in glory. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you.
It's time to talk about some announcements. We have our Christmas service times. On Sunday the 19th, there's a very special service. So I commend that to you. Once again, it's a story of Christ made up of various people and organised by Karen and her team. And, of course, Christmas Day is at 9 o'clock instead of 9:30. So just it's all in your news and notes, so just remember that. The next thing is the Southern Cross is actually out at the doorway. If you'd like to pick up a copy of the latest Southern Cross and take it and read some articles in there, it's always interesting and inspiring. The other thing which I think is quite important, very important, is tomorrow night we have our monthly prayer meeting in the back of the church, and it's meeting from 7 to 8 o'clock in the church foyer. So please, if you can come along, we'd love to join together in prayer for our church and our neighbourhood. And I think that's about it. The rest of it's... Oh, yes, sorry, my apologies. After prayer, we have two people down the front who would love to pray with you for any concerns. And they're very, very helpful, and they're very quiet. And it's very soothing to have someone to pray with. People who are genuinely interested in you and genuinely love God and know that God will help. So please, take advantage of this. We're now about to conclude our service, and I just want to remind you, the promise was love, and the promise was life. The promise meant light to the world, and Jesus is the living proof that Jehovah saves. For the name of the promise was Jesus, the unblemished Lamb, and we're about to sing about the voice of the Lord. And Jesus was at the beginning, so he was with the voice of the Lord and is the voice of the Lord. Sorry, please stand. My apologies. Bit rusty.
Thank you.
voice of the Lord is over the waters with power and strength and glorious thunder. And the earth will shake, the trees will fall as the voice of God is heard. See the flame burst forth, new life is born, and his people cry, glory. The voice of the Lord is mighty to conquer the power of death. His power no longer. And the lame will dance, the blind will see, and the dead will rise again. For the word of God has walked with us, and he makes us cry, glory. The Lord enthroned forever, he is King. The Lord enthroned forever, he is King. The Lord enthroned forever, and the earth will shake, the trees will fall, as the voice of God is heard. See the flame burst forth, new life is born, and his people cry, glory. And the lame will dance, the blind will see, and the dead will rise again. For the word of God has walked with us, and he makes us cry, glory. The Lord enthroned forever, he is King. The Lord enthroned forever, he is King. The Lord enthroned.
He is King. As we leave the church building this morning and we go out to serve the Lord in our daily life, Lord Jesus Christ, send us out with the confidence in your word to tell the word of your saving acts, world of your saving acts, and bring glory to your name in everything we do. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.